G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottlers proudly presents BBN Chalk Talk, a sports show with a distinct Kentucky flavor.
Welcome to BBN Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottling. My name is Max Gottby. With me always is Matt Smith and Greg Lyle, and we're coming in hot. It sounds like everyone is either mad, fat, hungry, or some combination of the three.
Well, two-thirds of us are fat. Yeah.
That's why I said, or a combination of the three. Cool your jets.
Cool your jets, everything Elizabeth. Else. Matt, calm down, Elizabeth. Matt and I cover the fat, so you're everything else.
Calm down, Elizabeth. It's a completely inside joke. It makes great radio. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl and how the NFL and Roger Goodell rigged it. We're going to talk about the state of officiating in football. We're going to talk about the early entries into the NFL draft. Hashtag, if you were triggered last year, you're going to be super triggered now. We're going to talk about the whole slew of hashtag everything sports with men's tennis, dance and cheer. We're going to talk about Tyler Hero and his honors. Then we're going to get into men's basketball. Then our food topic is ranker.com, the best Super Bowl foods. I bet you anything they got it wrong.
Well, you will. There are some things on this list that I went through and I was like, yeah. But then you get down in the bottom and I'm like, no, not so much.
I would like to see the weight of the person that did this.
When you make a list of 60 things, like, you're going to have to reach at some point. There's no need to make that.
Did anybody go see the list?
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. I was going to get set up here.
I have to look up what 55 is.
55 is satay?
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know.
Elizabeth don't even know what that is.
Number 60.
Come on, Elizabeth.
This is how bad it is. Number 60 is salad. We know we're reaching. Like, that's
wait, salad?
Cornbread
is 61. We're not talking about this right now because we got to talk about something that I am absolutely – I'm at least happy that we've got it all figured out and we know for a fact – that everyone's now on board with me. They always say the first person to hit the wall is always the bloodiest. And I'm just glad now that everyone's figuring out what I've been saying this whole time. Officiating in college football in the NFL sucks. It sucks. And everyone else is like, no, you know, it's real hard to do the job. This is their career, and it's extremely difficult to do. You're just talking out your butt, you know. And I do that sometimes. But I'm telling you, any person, 99% of the world's population, as Mike Summers used to say, I could be able to grab some wino off Tate's Creek Road and show him that play and tell him, is that pass interference? And he would say, yes, that's pass interference. How, on the biggest stage, the second biggest stage in the NFL, you blow that call? I don't understand it. And don't give me the excuse of the game was going too fast. He's an NFL official. It shouldn't be going fast. If it's going too fast for him, he shouldn't be on the field. And then the NFL and Roger Goodell come out and go, well, maybe we need to make it more reviewable. No, less screen time and just get it right. Now we've got two teams we don't even want in the Super Bowl now. Hashtag not my Super Bowl. Not my Super Bowl.
Hey, Smitty, on your script, I did take off the Godby rant for the show, right?
Oh, yeah, you did.
It was all encompassed into one. You knew it was coming.
Yeah, I knew you were triggered. I said that last night.
Yeah, this one was implied on this one because I think all of us have a rant for this section here. Because, oh, my God. I mean, one of the few times, Max, I will 100% agree with you. It wasn't only this call. Yes, this call was the easiest and most obvious call that these guys could ever make the entire season. but there was many times throughout the games they were either making the wrong call or they weren't making a call that should have been called. And then the coaches were having to throw challenge flags. And it wasn't just the Saints game. It was also the Patriots and Chiefs game that the coaches were having to throw challenge flags on obvious calls just to get them overturned. And I'm like, guys, like, you can't be missing stuff. Like, it shouldn't come down to talking about the officials like this, especially at a point in the game with that Saints game when that happens like that. Usually those are no calls, but when it's that blatant, you can't let that be a no call. Because there was the fact that he had, you know, he got hit helmet to helmet nonetheless, and it was pass interference. And then on that interception that Drew Brees threw, the guy hit his arm, so the ball did not get tipped. So the guy that intercepted it, that pushed off of Michael Thomas and fell backwards to catch it, that was pass interference. And the guy that hit Drew Brees hit him in the face with his hands. That's hands in the face. That's four calls that they missed right there that cost the Saints the game. And you don't ever want it to come down to those calls, but this one it did.
Yeah, and four calls that have been an emphasis throughout the whole year on the helmet-to-helmet contact and on the hits on the quarterback, which should have been called. And it's not like – the thing that upset me with the one, the pass interference call, is you blow the pass interference call and the helmet-to-helmet contact, and you're 5 yards away from the contact looking right at it. When all the pictures, if you look, that side judge is like 5 yards away staring right at the play.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm finally caving into it. I was talking to Lyle before the show, and I'm finally caving into it. I believe 100% the NFL's rigged now. I believe it's rigged. 100%. There's if you had the Chiefs and the Saints, there would have been no storyline. No storyline. You get the L.A. Rams.
I mean, you had the Mahomes. You had Mahomes coming in his first year as a starter.
Okay, a rookie. Or you could have the L.A. Rams going coming from a city that has two NFL teams now, which should have zero, absolutely none. It's the biggest garbage sports city in the United States. It's a horrible sports city. Horrible. First of all, the state of California is a horrible sports city. Just look at Pac-12. Anytime someone makes an argument, you just go, Pac-12. That's all you guys say.
Pac-12.
And so all of a sudden it's like, oh, L.A. So it's one more thing L.A. is. It's that, just that elitist thing. And me as a Midwesterner and borderline Southerner, it just irks me. And then you get the Patriots. Tom Brady to get one more Super Bowl, Gronkowski, Belichick, you know, just something that we're familiar with. It's like, this is America's team. They're Patriots. But it's, as Matt stated, anti-patriotism when it comes to the Patriots.
Now you know why I do it.
And I understand now. And I will say, I did cheer for the Patriots during the game against Atlanta because they were getting so much flack for being there. But after that one, I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm tired. I'm tired of Tom Brady. I'm tired of the Patriots. I'm tired of Belichick.
Yep.
I'm sick of it. And the NFL and Roger Goodell and ESPN and whoever's got their money involved into the NFL, Gillette, whoever's got their money into the NFL wanted to see this game. And it was 100% rigged. It was not the game people wanted to see. And now we have to sit there and watch not only trash commercials again this year, because they've gotten regressively worse every year. Now we got to watch the Super Bowl that no one wants to watch. Just proves my point even more that the NFL sucks.
Here's an interesting thought. So I don't know if you guys saw this, but Dan Orlovsky, he's the retired NFL quarterback that was around for 12 years or something like that.
Yeah. Right.
He tweeted out after the game and said, on the no call for the Rams and Saints game, I've said it for years, the NFL needs to get younger with officials. It's the fastest moving, most gifted athlete game in the world. Old, out of shape guys can't cut it. Number one thing to go and age is your eyes and reflexes. Today proves it. Interesting take there on that. I was like, huh, I agree.
One more thing as well. Did you know that back judge that did not make that call played for the LA Rams back in 1981?
Really?
Yes. I saw that today.
Huh, interesting.
Now, in college, if you played for the university, If you play for a university, you are not allowed to officiate a game.
Yeah.
So my question is, why was he allowed to play for the LA Rams, officiate a game with the LA Rams?
I think the NFL is a little bit different. There's no loyalty anymore. You don't see a guy.
Obviously, there's a blatant loyalty. There's a blatant loyalty.
I'm making kind of assumption he did it on purpose, but
I mean, Rams he official.
This could be a bad ref.
This is the biggest call. I'll go ahead and say it. He misses the biggest call in NFL history.
But there's like three other refs that are within 10 yards that could have made that call.
But that's his call,
though. It's not just him.
But that's
one of those where they all. I think it's one of those where they all assumed the other person was going to make the call, then no one made it, and then it was too late. They were like, oops.
Now, if you go to the basics of the rule, for everyone else that's on the field, that's not their call to make. That was his call to make. And he didn't make it.
Yeah.
I find it interesting he played for the LA Rams in 1981.
I would agree with that. I didn't know that.
That call would have sent them to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but the LA Rams have been the St. Louis Rams,
Exactly. Like, all of a sudden, LA Rams come back home.
They San Diego Rams a little bit too or something like that? They were somewhere.
I don't think so. Were they?
They've been all over the place.
I don't know. I think it's just been St. Louis. But one thing I did like out of these games was my continued love of announcing by Tony Romo.
Tony Romo's great.
I love it. That's so good. I never thought there would be a day where someone could go from like my top two or three most hated people in football to my top two or three most favorite people in football, like within a year or two. It's insane. But the way that he just like the energy, and obviously you could tell like everybody, it's like everybody just now realized that he's really smart when he's calling these games. Apparently people who haven't been listening all season, because it was blowing up all over Twitter and social media about how good he was doing. But I mean, man, it's impressive to watch him call these games.
Do y'all ever listen to Bob and Tom?
I don't.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Are y'all familiar with the comedian Greg Hahn?
No.
Tony Romo is the Greg Hahn of announcing. Go look at Greg Hahn and then listen to Tony Romo. That energy and that's what it reminded me of yesterday.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's spot on. He's great. I mean, he's not that far removed from being on the field, so a lot of that is still fresh in his mind.
Right.
The current game, the way it's played today.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now,
I was going to say this. Tom Brady, not Tom Brady, Tony Romo has made my dream team of broadcasters.
Yes.
If I could pick three people for broadcasting, play-by-play would be Chris Fowler. I think Chris Fowler does, when it just comes to energy of a play-by-play caller, it's fantastic. I don't think there's anyone else, with the exception of maybe Vern Lundquist, that brought that kind of energy. My color commentator, Tony Romo, but here's my wild card for sideline reporter, Pat McAfee. that game that he did a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
when they brought him up in the booth, dude, he did such a great job.
Yep,
it was the Green Bay and Minnesota game. I think it was that one. The job he did with no broadcasting experience ever, I was freaking dying because he brought such a new level of energy. But those three, how would you like hearing Pat McAfee give you an update on injuries?
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah,
see, I would rather see it as an old school Monday Night Football booth with two color guys and have Romo and McAfee up there playing off of each other. And then put Tony Siragusa, was always my favorite sideline reporter.
Tony Siragusa. Wow. That dude could barely fit a helmet on his head. I thought I had a big head.
He was always great on the field.
Yeah.
With his comments down there. That was,
I'm a big Gus Johnson fan when it comes to my play. He gets excited near the end of a game when things are coming down to the wire. But did you guys see the rule that's being thrown out there now that Michael Thomas for the Saints had tweeted out about in the rule book about how Goodell could technically overturn the game if he wanted to? Won't happen, but that'd be kind of funny if he did.
There is a rule out there. I haven't looked into it. I just saw that text or tweet or whatever this evening that there is a way that he could overturn it.
The rule says the commissioner has the sole authority to investigate and take appropriate disciplinary and or corrective measures if any club action, non-participant interference, or calamity occurs in an NFL game which the commissioner deems so extraordinarily unfair or outside the accepted tactics encountered in a professional football game that such action has a major effect on the result of the game.
Yeah, I just saw his tweet. It's Rule 17, Section 2, Article 3 at NFL. Hey, Roger, pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. So, interesting. Won't happen, but that'd be kind of funny.
That's justifiable since the game was rigged.
Yeah. Yep.
Both games were rigged.
Yeah. It says he can – he said he has the power to – the powers include the reversal of a game's result or the rescheduling of a game either from the beginning or from the point at which the extraordinary act occurred. So he could reschedule a game and make them come back and put them the ball right there and have them play the rest of that game there at the final drives. That'd be insane. I
would love that. That would 15 be minutes of football. Yep. Sunday night.
So here's what you do. You invite all three teams to the Super Bowl. You have the Saints and the Rams do one drive to see who's going to continue on. The other team has to go home. And the Patriots are just sitting there waiting on whoever wins that drive.
That'd be great.
Yes. Three-team Super Bowl. History.
It's like a battle royale.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, gosh. That's
stellar. Did y'all see the text earlier, too, that somebody put out? I'm trying to scroll through and see if I can find it real quick. But they said everything that was not around when Brady won his first Super Bowl.
Yes.
iPad, iPhone.
Xbox. I mean, it was
Tesla.
It was just going through the list. I was like, holy smokes.
Fortnite, Call of Duty.
Yep.
Trying to think what else. Blockbuster was still around.
Blockbuster was still around.
Man. There was no such thing as Netflix. Amazon, or Amazon was still in a garage. A lot of stuff.
Yep.
A lot. But when we come back, we'll give you a hashtag everything school. We'll give you a full UK sports update. You're listening to BB and Chalk Talk presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling.
Yo, this is your cup holder talking. The little round thing between your car seats. Now, I normally have a nice cold bottle of Mountain Dew in me, but at the moment, I'm empty. That's right, no Mountain Dew. Nothing in here but a couple of quarters and a dime. A fully capable cup holder like me just carrying your loose change. Look, I'm not made for loose change. I'm made to keep Mountain Dew within reach at all times, just inches from your hand. So find a store already. Grab some Dew. Toss it back, then place that bottle where it belongs. Mountain Dew. Do the Dew.
Question, do you manage a business that uses advertising to market to your customer base? Radio's audience continues to grow, adding new listeners by the millions every year. And now with podcasts and more streaming audio in the mix, the universe of listeners continues to expand. Do you think partnering with BB and Chalk Talk to advertise is a good fit for your company? Want to know all the different ways we can help you reach more customers? Contact us today at info@bbandchalktalk.com. And we will follow up immediately to answer your questions. Welcome back to BB and Chalk Talk presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling. I forgot where I was there for a second. I forgot. I found out that I'm not sitting where I thought I was.
It's an interesting thought.
All right, Elizabeth.
Matt, men's tennis. How did they do?
Got back in the victory lane. After that loss to number 18 Notre Dame, the men jumped back into a 4-1 victory over Duke on Monday there. So a lot of the guys did some great things. I'm not going to go through the entire list of everybody that won again. Had some good doubles matches to start off and just really never lost momentum until we had that one loss kind of thrown in there. But this was Duke's first defeat of 2019 and its third loss to Kentucky in four seasons. So we own Duke in men's tennis. The Cats will be heading to New York City for the ITA kickoff weekend here on Saturday and Sunday. The women are also headed to that ITA kickoff. So we'll get some action from them here this weekend. before they all come back in February. So good to see them. The men are now 4-1. The women are 4-0. So some strong starts here to the tennis season.
Nice.
Yep.
Hashtag everything's cool.
Hashtag everything's cool.
And to expand on that, so this last weekend, the dance team and cheers team went down to Orlando, Florida. Must be nice to hang out down there when it's 3 degrees up here.
Yep.
But they headed down there, and the dance team took on a competition. They were slotted in Division 1A, and they placed 6th in the hip-hop division. They placed 5th in the game day division. That's the first year for that. And they placed 12th in the palm division. So great showing by our dance cats, the dance team down there, as well as the cheerleaders. And guess what?
What?
They get some rings. They won a natty.
Another one.
The University
of Connecticut
just won their 24th.
Another one.
Well, always say another one. It's because it's their 24th championship.
Is that a lot?
Cheerleaders Association. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's more fingers and toes than most people have. So,
oh, okay.
It's almost as many years as I've been alive. You too, Max. Even closer to you. Yeah.
Wow. Competing among Division 1A co-ed squads this year was the 4th in a row for Kentucky Cheer under Coach Jomo Thompson. They have won 24 championships in the last 35 years.
Wow. That's insane.
That is crazy.
You just don't – I wonder, like, I guess I just don't realize it because we see our cheerleaders at all kinds of events and doing, you know, their routines at halftimes when we're getting close, and then they're out there flipping across the entire court and just doing insane things, and it just looks natural. It looks like every team should be able to do that. You just don't realize what you have in front of you until you start seeing some of these other teams perform. And, I mean, guy, it's just a – every year – I mean, I can't imagine what that recruiting's like to get people in there for cheerleading that come from everywhere.
And what a lot of people don't understand, too, is how big this team is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like two divisions. There's like an A squad, a blue squad and a white squad, and same thing, I believe, with the dance team as well. So there's a lot of members to this squad, and it's nice to see them be able to go and take the best of the best down there and pull out another national championship. And then the dance team placing as highly ranked as they did in their competition. They're going to be honored this weekend at the Kansas game, men's basketball taking on Kansas on Sunday. Saturday, at 6 o'clock, they're going to honor them at halftime, just like they do with football and everybody else when they bring them out on the court. They did that with volleyball as well. So it's going to be great to see them and see them honored as well.
Very nice. Very nice. And before we get into, you know, basketball against Mississippi State here, we do have another honor coming to Tyler Hero for his performances against Georgia and Auburn. From the previous week here, where between those two games, he averaged 16 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. And so he got SEC Freshman of the Week. This is now 5 out of the last 6 weeks that UK has won the SEC Freshman of the Week honor. So these guys are just racking it up right now. But obviously a couple of huge games, and we've talked about them up to this point that Hero's had. And Kentucky, this is an interesting stat, though, that I did see on here. It's the second of the season 4 Hero, and the league leading 6th time a UK player has been named to that top performing freshman. Johnson and Higgins have each won twice, but now Kentucky has won more weekly SEC honors, 95, than any other school during the Calipari era, including 77 SEC Freshman of the Week honors and 18 SEC Player of the Week awards. So, it's cool to see that. It's not just one guy winning this, that we now have Keldon Johnson, Ashton Higgins, and Tyler Hero all have won it twice, that they're just spreading it around. And week to week, you have to worry about so much more than just one guy with this team. Any of these guys can go off, which we obviously keep talking about. But, you know, another huge one for Tyler there.
Hey, do me a favor at the game when you do interviews.
Yep.
Hit them up and see if they have a friendly competition among the freshmen so you can pull the most.
It's a great question.
Next time you see one,
yep.
Hit them up.
Hit them up.
Because, I mean, that would be a fun competition to have with your team.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not I'm going to score more points. I'm going to get more freshmen of the weeks than you do.
I used to do that with all the offensive linemen. We had a competition, and we all ended with 0, so. Well, except Larry probably got a couple.
Larry.
Larry.
Then it was the lightning bolt challenge. Well, shoot, Matt, I had more lightning bolts than you did.
Yeah, that wasn't even a competition. Larry just ran away with that one, but like, I wasn't even close on the board.
What we used to have was, we used to have this board in the office of line room, and it was for lightning bolts. And lightning bolts was when you were able to get a body on the ground, whether that's you hit them so hard they just collapse on the ground, or you cut them. And most of the time it was cutting.
Yep.
And Larry, and then Larry led with, gosh, how many lightning bolts did he wind up?
I don't even know. He's insane out there on the edge. I don't understand it.
He was insane during that game.
Yeah.
He played a really good game.
He did play. He was. Yeah.
It's a shame that it was rigged and didn't even get a chance.
Sure is.
But, you know.
All right, Trigger.
Well, we,
slow down, Trigger. Slow down.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. Pretty suspicious.
Easy.
Oh, was it the official in the grassy knoll then? Is that who we need to be talking about?
The official in the grassy knoll. That's great. That's a reach, but a good.
Get it? Conspiracy theories, you know.
Hmm.
Or was there ever a game to begin with?
It was staged on a sound stage. It was scripted. Every single play, every single fan.
I mean, honestly, have you ever seen Drew Brees outside of the Mercedes Dome? Honestly, in person?
Yeah, somebody sent me some videos of him at a Westlake game. Because that's where he's from. It was our rival in high school. I probably played in a game where young Drew Brees was watching me.
You were his inspiration to play football.
Yeah, Fatty McFatty playing right tackle. he was his inspiration. I don't want to be that. I want to be a I want to be a
Oh, my God.
Daddy, what's that? That's an offensive lineman. I don't want to play that.
I don't want to do that.
And he busted his tail. And when he gives his Hall of Fame speech, he's going to say, I remember going to my first football game, and I remember seeing an offensive lineman. And I thought to myself, as God is my witness, I will never become that position.
We probably have inspired a few people to not play that position before.
But
yep,
it's inspired Ashley and the rest of her family that our future children will not play offensive line, let alone the game of football.
Whenever Greg came to me and he was like, hey, Dad, you're going to be upset if I give up football? And I was like, nope.
That's the thing. That's the thing. You see anyone that's played at this, that hasn't played this level, who played like high school football, and they get all mad about their kids not playing anymore. Anyone who's played college or more, they're like, Dad, I don't feel like you, I want to play anymore. No, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yes.
Save the brain.
Let's go practice your golf swing.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
I told my dad and I were talking about that the other day. And I said, Dad, honestly, I'm real pissed at you. He goes, why? I was like, instead of football, instead of baseball, and instead of stupid track and field, why in the world did you not teach me how to golf? And it's that moment in his eyes where he realized, he was like, crap, I let my son down. I was like, yes, you did. You let me down.
Well, think about how bad I felt when Greg got his first concussion playing baseball.
Yeah.
Catch it. I mean, I got my first concussion. I got my first concussion playing baseball. Now, my second, third, and fourth one came from football. But the first one, and that the first one's always special because you don't remember it at all.
Yep. I don't think I've had any, but I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah. That's why everybody used to ask me, Max. Y'all used to always ask me how many concussions you ever had. Don't know. They didn't diagnose those back in the day.
I would say officially or unofficially?
Yeah.
Like officially, well, none. Unofficially, none. Too many to count. Don't know.
It depends. Are we talking concussions like the actual term of concussion and concussion protocol, or are we talking about this new thing that's called subconcussive hits that basically happen every single play?
Yep.
Either way, I don't know.
I never knew what that was.
Nope.
Mm. Got your bell rung.
Yeah, you got your bell rung. You're fine. Science says otherwise.
Get some aspirin.
Just put some ice on it. You'll be fine. That's rub some dirt on it.
It might be a migraine. Never know. Take some aspirin, take a nap. You'll be all right.
Yeah, go to sleep.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to give a full recap of men's basketball. You're listening to BB and Chalk Talk presented by GJ Pepsi Cold Bottle.
Final seconds in this one. They can win it with a field goal.
Wait, time out. They're going to ice the kicker.
This trick never works. Wait, is that the coach with a Pepsi?
Now the crowd's getting into it.
And they're pouring.
And drinking? What is going on?
The kicker's just going to have to ignore it.
He'll try.
Snap is good. Threads are up. The kick is...
No good!
He missed it!
The Pepsi's worked!
It's a mental game, isn't it? Whew. Glad that's over.
Welcome back to BBN Chuck Talk presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling. Greg, what a great win. That was just an absolute beatdown. Kentucky took the game against Mississippi State 76-55. And although that score doesn't look close, it really wasn't for most of the game except like a, I don't know, 5-6 minute period there where Mississippi State got it down to 2, but then Kentucky just opened it right back up to 15. It was impressive. It was a good, solid win, especially after coming off a win at Auburn.
Yeah, it's like what we talked about. You know, they came out, took an early lead. When I say early, I mean within the first minute. But then after that, once we took the lead, we never relinquished it, held the lead for over 38 minutes. And like you said, there was a point in time there in the second when it got a little tight, but this team really responded and fought back the way we kind of wanted them to see, hey, what are you going to do when you have a big lead and lose it? You know, how can you hold it, or are you going to fight back to get it? And it was just really great to see a lot of these guys get physical, and across the board, everybody scoring tonight.
Yeah, and really Mississippi State was very underwhelming, and I know they're used to relying a lot on the three, but just on their scoring in general, which they were just not able to do. They typically average somewhere around like 9 threes a game, and they only had 3 this game. So a poor shooting night. Kentucky really controlled everything. Really, it was up to Kentucky as to what the pace was, what the intensity was. When Mississippi State made their run to come back, Kentucky just looked very lackadaisical out there, and Mississippi State was scoring on a lot of slop. You're exactly right, though. It was great to see them be able to fight back and then reopen it back up into where it was. It got late into the game and kind of look up, and 3 minutes left, a 16-point ball game, and it's over. So, you know, Nick Richards had a big game. EJ had a big game, a huge block during this game that kind of changed momentum for things when things could have gotten uglier. He came in and had a spark for this team, even though he wasn't a huge contributor. He had a couple key moments.
Yeah, I like that three that he hit there too in the second half. What I liked about tonight is that guys aren't trying to force shots. Mm-hmm. They're understanding their role. And a prime example was Reed Travis. 1 for 6 from the floor tonight. His shot wasn't falling. He hit his free throws. He got in the lane. He got fouled. He hit his free throws. He had 12 boards. So he did what he was supposed to do as a big man.
And he contributed on that side. And then Ashton didn't have a huge scoring night. He only had 5 points, but he had 9 assists. Yep. A guy that was just seeing the floor, seeing guys that were open. So that guys like PJ with 21 and Hero with 18 could continue their hot streaks. I mean, that's 3 games in a row now for Hero that he's put up some big numbers. And I actually asked him after the game, remember we were talking, I asked him down there if he and Keldon and Ashton had a little competition going on to see who could get the most SEC Freshman of the Week honors. And he said, no, they're just trying to hype each other up and play as a team. And that's what they're focused on. But I guarantee there's something going on in the locker room there where they're all dogging on each other.
They would not be student athletes at this age if they did not. Yep. Do something like that. So it was great to see. It was great to see the way they finished out. You know, we were just talking before we got recorded here. You know, UK was on an 8-0 run over the last 249, but they also had no field goals. I thought that was just an odd stat because everything came from the free throw line. or from long range. Yep. But they held Mississippi State, did not score for the last 3 minutes of the ball game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's huge. And really on the game, I mean, Mississippi State shot only 31% from the field, 15% three, and 77% free throw, which are all below their averages. And Kentucky is now 7-0 when they're holding a team to under 40% field goal percentage there, which is really good, obviously. So the defensive side stepped up. Our offense was hitting it, though. You know, 50% from three-pointer, 8 for 16, is really good. The biggest area that I think we've got to improve and thing that kind of showed through is just the amount of silly turnovers that we had. There was a few of them where we had a turnover because we got a rebound. We're trying to get the ball to Ashton to bring the ball up, and someone was just sneaking around and stealing it from him because they knew we tried to go to Ashton every single time to bring the ball up. So we've got to minimize that, and something we've got to work on. But I love the way that this team is rolling right now.
Yeah, it looks good, and it looks really good heading into this weekend. So
yeah,
it's a great build. You know, if you look at this week, each game has been another building block to get them ready for a primetime game on Saturday.
Yeah. And everybody down there after the game was asking them, you know, what does Saturday mean? What does Saturday mean? And they all were playing it cool. You know, hey, it's just another game. We've got to look at it. Cal talked about he's only seen, you know, really 4 minutes of game time in live game that they were playing when he just saw it on TV, but he hasn't looked anything into them yet. Just treating it like another opponent here. And, you know, we talked about before the week started, before the Auburn game, that if we could get two of these three, that would be good. We've already done that. So now let's go get three out of three. I mean, that'd be huge to do that. And we are we are asking Tony Neely, I'm wondering if they come out with the stat to, you know, if we can beat Kansas, they come out with the stat of the last time Kentucky has played three ranked opponents in a row and won all three of them. I'd be very curious to see when that is. So got a chance to do something really cool here and to really kind of boost, you know, that ranking to keep jumping up there and show the nation that these guys are for real. Now they've figured it out since that Duke game.
Yeah, it looks really good. Excited. It's going to be exciting for this weekend. They can just build on game after game, which is what you want to see. You know, Cal said it all early on in the season. You don't want to be February and November. You know, and we all said, hey, just kind of trust him. He's proven it before. He's got a process. There's a method to his madness. And look where he's got him. You know, we're getting late January. And he's got this team really starting to bring it all together and click, which is what you want. They can fine-tune it in February and head on into March.
Yeah, and the biggest thing that, you know, kind of was asked to him on, like, what he's working on going from here, Coach Cal, is that he wants to get to a point where Kentucky is playing Kentucky basketball and they don't have to change every game on how they're defending the pick and roll or how they're doing this and that based off who they're playing. He said, I want it to be like the old Green Bay Packers where – you knew the Packers were going to run sweep. You knew it was coming. You saw it coming, but they scored a touchdown on you regardless. He's like, that's what I want to do, to where we force them to play our hand and we're not having to change the way we play every game. So, obviously, they've got a little ways to go to get to that, but they're figuring it out. They're getting there. They're winning against some big-time opponents. You know, Auburn had the hangover. They ended up with the hangover here and lost to South Carolina tonight, down there over in Columbia. It was one of those games where Kentucky actually ended up beating Auburn twice by beating them and then leaving them in a hangover for South Carolina to clean up. But on the flip side of that, South Carolina is not to be messed with now. They've only had one loss in SEC play against LSU, but they've already beaten Florida in Gainesville. They've beaten number 14 Auburn now, and they beat Mississippi State when they were ranked in the teens as well. They do have some bad losses early on, so it's kind of like you can't really figure out the South Carolina team yet, but just another SEC team that we're going to have to worry about, who I assume will be ranked here soon enough.
Yeah, and everybody kind of throws that back out. Well, they had these bad losses to so-and-so and so-and-so. But that was early in the year. No team is exactly how they were back in November. You know, every team has changed a little bit and grown in their exposure. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So, well, cool. Well, big game. Kansas coming up here. We're going to get into that later on this week here. We can kind of break down some Kansas, stats, film, players, everything like that, and bring that to you. So, when we come back, we got some good food talk. You've been listening to BB and Chalk Talk here, presented by G&J Pepsi Cold Bottling.
Hi, I'm Alex White, tea master at Pure Leaf. When I make tea, everything I know goes into it. You can't be impatient. When I craft Pure Leaf iced tea, I don't take shortcuts. because I want you to have the same amazing taste of iced tea that I do. So I start with fresh-picked tea leaves. Then, after they're delicately dried, I blend and brew them at a lower temperature to draw out their unique aromas. And then I taste and fine-tune the blend for a delicious smooth iced tea. I'd love to have you take a sip right now, but that's one thing we can't do over the radio. But you can experience the same delicious taste of Pure Leaf iced tea anywhere you are. I'm Alex White, Pure Leaf Tea Master. Pure Leaf, our thing is tea.
Question, do you manage a business that uses advertising to market to your customer base? Radio's audience continues to grow, adding new listeners by the millions every year. And now with podcasts and more streaming audio in the mix, the universe of listeners continues to expand. Do you think partnering with BB and Chalk Talk to advertise is a good fit for your company? Want to know all the different ways we can help you reach more customers? Contact us today at info@bbandchalktalk.com and we will follow up immediately to answer your questions. Welcome back to BB and Chalk Talk, presented by G&J PepsiCo Bottling. And guys, I'm looking at this Ranker site right now. And first of all, this solves a lot of our food topic issues now, because we could just go after Ranker right now. And it seems to me that Ranker is just a low-budget BuzzFeed that doesn't know food, like BuzzFeed. That's what it seems like to me.
I mean, I get chicken wings, I get pizza, I get nachos. Yeah. Where they start to lose me is whenever they broke down every type of chip individually, like potato chips.
Yeah.
Doritos.
And corn chips.
And chips. And no, chips are chips.
To their defense, they chose 61 items. I've never seen 61 items.
You don't need that many.
Super Bowl.
You could tell they were starting to reach there, because if I ever go to a Super Bowl party and there's satay and lettuce wraps and antipasta plates and a salad, I'm probably leaving.
Who makes antipasta plates?
Finger sandwiches?
Yeah. I mean, I like a good finger sandwich now.
Yeah, but not here.
All right.
There's a lot of these foods that I like. They're just not Super Bowl appropriate. I mean, they're not wanted for Super Bowl.
I mean, I can understand finger sticks. So anyway, we'll just go through these real quick. So 61's cornbread. Not a low country.
If you're doing chili, that's got to be with the chili. It's got to be. I mean, it's chili and cornbread.
Yeah, I think like a low country boil. That's what I think of when I hear that. So I say no.
Yeah.
I say no to it. Pork rind. Not pork rinds. Pork rind.
One rind.
One rind for everyone.
It sounds like Max on his carb day.
That's my day that I go and I go keto.
I had a rind.
That's my today. Keto day.
I feel bloated. I had a rind.
He had numbers 58 through 60. Grapes, one pork rind, and a salad.
Yeah, next one's salad. Who has salad at a Super Bowl party? No.
I would knock that out of somebody's hand standing in line if they
were. Come on, Elizabeth.
Put that down.
Grapes, no. Antipasto, since this is in Italy and we're not celebrating European football, no. Lettuce wraps.
That's just too much. I like them, but it's just too much.
50's fruit. 50, 51. 50's fruit. 51 is hush puppies. The opposite end of the spectrum of things. Yeah.
And then why is
saute.
Grapes not
I don't,
with fruit?
I don't know. Is that satay a satay?
Satay.
Yeah, it's like a Mediterranean shish kebab kind of.
Again, no.
Vegetables. Some of this sounds or like, not. Max, did you make some of these lists? Because this sounds like your tailgate picking. There's going to be vegetables.
First of all, there's no smoke on this list.
They could clean this list up a lot and just eliminate it.
So who's going to go and get corn nuts?
I got cheese.
Who's going to their local Speedway and just buying 8-9 packets of corn nuts?
First of all, who buys corn nuts to begin with?
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Sausage rolls. 52, donuts. I mean, I like donuts, but not during a Super Bowl party. Right.
Now, I'm Hispanic, And I love a good empanada, but I don't think I've ever, in all my years and all the Super Bowls I've witnessed, I've ever sat there and said, man, those Super Bowl empanadas were really good this year.
I like it though. It's a Mexican cuisine. Anything usually that's a Mexican cuisine somehow, or Tex-Mex sort of gentrification, whatever you want to call it, cultural appropriation of Hispanic food that turns into Super Bowl like appetizers, I'm all for. I like them.
Buffalo dip is not in the top 25.
That's another stupid thing. Like hummus, no. Beef jerky, no. Stuffed mushrooms, gross. Trail mix.
Stuffed mushrooms, I could get down with that. That wouldn't be good.
I hate mushrooms. I hate mushrooms with the
sauce. I'm down for stuffed mushrooms.
Stuffed in them. Oh, sausage and jam melted.
Deviled eggs. Cupcakes. I like deviled. I'm okay with cupcakes, but I would feel like cupcakes would be higher. Finger sandwiches. I would say yes. I would find that, deem that Super Bowl appropriate. Egg rolls. No. Cocktail sausages.
Yeah, egg rolls. Where did that come from? I mean, that's how. Yeah.
This is all sorts of cultural appropriation right now. 37, vegetables. Yes, I do like vegetables.
See, that's where I, you know, sounds like you, Colin, tell you vegetables, cheese. The way cheese is.
Sub sandwiches. I don't mind those long sub sandwiches that are cut up, that are catered. I don't mind that. Crab dip. Crab dip's nice. Chex Mex. Hot dogs. Cheese fries. I'm for Cheetos. Yes. Yeah. French onion dip. I'm not a big French onion dip guy, but I'm still okay with it. I agree with the idea of it. I just don't agree with the practice.
I agree with the idea.
Cheese. Just cheese. I'm for cheese.
Yeah, I'm with cheese.
Pizza rolls. How that's 28th, I don't know.
I think that's great.
That should be like top 10.
Yeah.
Shrimp. Yeah. Buffalo chicken dip. Again, that's a sin that it is not in the top 10.
Right.
Popcorn. Yeah. Pretzels. Yeah. You've got beer there. Yeah, it makes sense. Spinach artichoke dip. A lot of effort to make, but I'm for it. Tacos. Yes. Burgers. Yes. Cookies. Yes. Brownies. Yes. Meatballs. Now we're getting into the hunky.
I think your yes is all the way up from here.
Chicken tenders. Yeah. Tortilla chip. Chili con carne. I mean, is that chili or is that like a chili?
It's like a chili con queso.
Yeah, it's like chili queso.
Yeah.
Yeah. Corn chips. Baked potato skin, seven-layer dip, jalapeno poppers, sliders, mozzarella sticks, pigs in a blanket, quesadilla, guacamole, salsa. What? Now it just turns into, yeah. You don't remember that from Napoleon Dynamite? Just dang go and make quesadilla. Yourself a dang quesadilla.
No, Uncle usually Rico. I didn't.
Then nachos, pizza, and chicken wings. I'm perfectly content with the rest of that list.
Did you hear the big news coming out of Mercedes-Benz Stadium today?
What?
They're going to replay the game.
Yeah, right. they have come up with a menu for the Super Bowl because everybody was worried about the outrageous prices that were probably going to be charged. It's called Fan First Menu Pricing, and everything is under $6.
Really?
Yeah. So it's to enjoy the fan experience that you're not going and paying $25 for a beer and $18 for a hot dog. $2 Coca-Cola refillable cup, $2 hot dogs, $3 waffle fries, $5 Bud Light draft, $2 bottles of water, $2 popcorn, $3 pizza slices, $5 cheeseburger, $2 pretzels, $3 nachos and cheese, souvenir refillable cup. So that's huge that you can refill at $4. And then the chicken tender basket with fries is only $6.
Now, how much is a Super Bowl ticket this year?
A lot.
A couple thousand.
Jeez. That's unreal. That's unreal.
And that, so, because of that, we'll give you a $2 beer.
Yeah. Exactly. And I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or it's just I don't like to spend money. I don't know what it is, but I just find it extremely hard and try to find anything justifiable to go somewhere to watch a game. Because I thought about going down to the Citrus Bowl this year. And Ashley and I were going to go to Texas A&M game as part of our anniversary trip. We were going to take a full week, start in College Station and in Chicago. We wound up saying no because it's like I can watch that game from my house. Like, I can watch it on my TV for free.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. It would be interesting to see what the overall Super Bowl attendance is. I'd just like to see where it's been trending, especially this year for the national championship game. Like, tickets were like $150. Like, not expensive at all compared to a few years ago when starting one was like $1,200.
SeatGeek right now has up there, they're saying that on average tickets are going to be between $2,500 and $3,000.
Jeez.
It'll change once, you know, now that we know who the participants were. But in 2018, the Super Bowl tickets, the cheapest ticket in 2018 was $3,626. The average ticket price was $5,682. God. You want to take a stab at the most expensive ticket?
$13,000.
Wrong.
$175,790.
To hell with that.
Wow.
Gosh.
Yeah, no thanks. I'll watch it on TV.
Yeah.
Better view. Get to see the
commercials. Better view. And I'm wondering if we're going to see just overall a switch because NFL game attendance has been down this year. It's been down for the past 3 years. And I don't know. I don't know if we're going to start seeing a switch to where, like, you've got Hulu you can buy a package to watch college football during the year.
Get all the games.
Yeah, get all the games. NFL, I think you can get a lot of the NFL games on Hulu. Also, or at least access to NFL Network. You do the exact same thing with DirecTV Now. To me, it's just going to be interesting. And even buying season tickets for UK games this year. Going to Murray State. I mean, I went because I bought the ticket, but it was kind of just like – I mean, and I hate to sound like that, but it's just like where Mississippi State, South Carolina, I'll even say Georgia because the atmosphere was great, but to pay for the parking pass and then pay for the tickets, there's a couple of games this year that I didn't get my money's worth out of it. And I'm just saying, I don't know what the future is going to hold for when it comes to all that. I just find it interesting. I know that's kind of off script, but I would find it interesting to see where just 5 years down the road, how everything's going to trend.
I agree. I don't know. We'll see.
Somebody's going to pay it though.
Oh yeah. Well, the prices are going to stay there as long as people keep doing it. People are going to keep doing it.
We've all taken economics. If the demand was not there,
yeah,
the price would drop.
Right. Yeah.
But obviously, somebody's paying it, so that's why they charge it.
True.
All right, so music poll picks.
Yep.
Yeah, man, that was an awesome pick last week with George Strait.
I'm going to let you go first this time, Greg, just so you don't have to keep throwing ones away.
No, actually, I like that because I don't have one right this.
Okay, well, I can go if you're not ready.
Yeah, go ahead. Or let Max go first.
All right, Max.
No, I'm letting Amazon Music pick for me.
Oh man, wow.
I'm trying. Such a win. Well, if I'm not gonna win, I'm not gonna keep throwing stuff out there, just giving my hopes up. Well,
maybe it's because you throw away a pick and you just kind of like scroll through. Hey, Alexa, give me a. I mean, I was shocked that Cyndi Lauper beat your Beach Boys last week.
I'm not, because it's me.
It's me. I'm rolling with I'm going to stick on the country theme here. I'm going to go with Brooks and Dunn this week.
I like Brooks and Dunn. They're all right.
Let's see. I'm going to go with – let's see. Who did Amazon pick for me? Waiting for it to load. Loading. 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 Okay, Mumford & Sons. Okay, I'm for that.
All right. There you go.
And Sons. So it's down to me.
But it has to be their first two albums. Their third album, they're sellouts, and I hate them now. Album one and two, I liked. Third one, they sold out. They're dead to me, and I hate them.
I want to test something here. I'm going with Nickelback.
Oh, gosh.
God, I hope you don't win.
Oh, because, see, it's anonymous. People that really like Nickelback that don't want to admit it can go and vote, and they won't have to, you know, fess up to it.
He said, I want to test something.
Look at this photograph.
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
So
I really hope David Mumford and David out of spite would play it.
And Nickelback. We're going to have to tell him who Nickelback is. Come on. Seriously, you're going to tell him who Mumford and Sons is.
Are you telling me that this is who I have to play this week? You're out of your mind.
If for some reason you or I both win, I'm probably going to have to give him like a 3-day heads up. And then he's like, dude, start researching. You know what? I'm just going to give him a list of the songs.
There you go.
Out of those two, because he probably would.
Hey, baby. It's all cash money, as what the young kids call it these days.
Oh,
jeez.
Oh, my gosh. So, Matt and Lyle, you all are all over the place. Where are you all covering this week?
Well, I just got done covering the Mississippi State game. They're at Rupp. So, we had a lot of home games. Last week, we had a lot of away games. This week, we had Mississippi State here at Rupp. Thursday night, Greg, you were at the women's basketball game.
Pulling for chicken tenders.
Yep. Pulling for chicken tenders, of course. And then on Saturday, we are both going to be covering the Kansas game. Game day will be in town. We will both be ready to cover that one. It's going to be a big, big day. So we got a lot of stuff going on this week for sure.
Brisket nachos.
And brisket nachos, of course. I didn't tell you. I did finally did your theory of the chips and the tacos and letting it spill onto the nachos. It's great. Great idea.
I told you.
Yeah.
Throw some jalapenos on it, some barbecue sauce on it beforehand.
Yeah.
And then let everything fall into it.
Yeah.
Two for one.
I feel like a veteran now.
Two for one.
It's great.
Oh, but, wow. Okay. Podcast schedule.
We'll have another episode up on Friday, which will recap the women's basketball game and give you a little more preview into the Saturday game against Kansas as we get closer to the game, and we can kind of do a little more digging into that. And then, as always, on Sunday, 590 WVLK from noon to 1.
Yep.
Catch us live. Yeah, be live. That day we'll have full-on coverage of everything going on that went on with the Kansas game, and then a full week of athletics coming up
the
following week, because the following week we get into spring sports, have their media days and Super Bowl, so there'll be a lot of stuff on Sunday. Be packed.
Mm-hmm. Lots of stuff. Absolutely. And especially now that I've noticed that there's more people from WVOK coming in on Sundays, because I feel like they're trying to find Bigfoot, that they've heard these stories about us and they're starting to decide, well, I'm just going to come in and work on a Sunday just to see. And I came in Sunday. I always get there earlier than the other two to get coffee ready, and I saw that coffee was already made. So I asked David, I go, did you make the coffee? He goes, well, no, sir, I did not. But I believe Patrick in the other room made it about an hour ago. You may still be able to catch up to him and see if you can partake in his coffee. And so I go over, and – the on-air sign was on, waited, and as soon as it came turned off, I opened the door. I go, oh, are you Patrick? And he goes, you must be Max. I was like, yes. Nice to meet you.
Yes, I am.
Hey, can I have some of your coffee? He said, absolutely. But and it's just been a great environment to be around, where these all these people, where this is their job. Like, this is their livelihood. They live and breathe talk radio, and keep both 97.3. I mean, they keep the Nash 103.3 up. I mean, they keep all these stations afloat in that Cumulus radio station. And three guys like us, where we just come in and we kind of just
tear stuff up over for an hour and leave.
Yeah. Between that and kind of just befuddled our way through to all of a sudden we get into situations where we're hosting Larry Glover's show and Cruiser and Crew and really putting ourselves in these situations of we don't know how we got here. And I honestly think they don't know how we got there also, but they've been extremely supportive of us and really helped us out. And just having great conversations with the people there, the way that Scott Frazier, Twitch, Cruiser, Larry, David, Anthony, I mean, the list goes on and on of all the people that have been supportive of us over at WBOK. And so we just want to thank you all. And we want to thank you and then go ahead and apologize in advance for the next thing we screw up. Because it seems like any single time we do a favor for them, somehow we screw it up in some way, shape, or form. So, but they keep asking us back to.
What if Cruiser and Sister Ann goes, I gave them my code to the building.
That's a scary thing.
They can go in whenever they want.
Yep. Sure
and I can. Think I think finally something keyed in on them where it's just like, oh gosh, they not only do they have access to the building, they have access to every single studio in that entire building. That's fine. It's fine.
It's what does fine. This button do?
What does this button do?
I want to learn to run the control board.
But we would never be a Cumulus Radio if it weren't for G&J Pepsi Cola bottling. Just the way they've supported us both financially, but then also the way they've been able to, I mean, just treat us like kings, basically, and really help us out. And we've really been learning this process all together of how working a radio show and sponsoring with a radio show works. And G&J has been fantastic to work with and work alongside with. And for them to really dive in and really believe in what we're doing and what we're talking about and being courageous enough to put their name with BB and Chalk Talk and with three fat old offensive linemen. I really commend them for it, but we're extremely grateful for their sponsorship also and the way that they've treated us and the way they've made this thing that we've never thought we would ever be at this point 3 years ago. Now we're here and it's like, wow, just to take a step back and take a look at what we've done since we've started 3.5 years ago. And it's just, wow, never thought we would get to this moment. So thank you to 590 WVOK. And then thank you G&J PepsiCo Bottling for all the support that you all have given us and really making this a reality. It's touching. It really is touching.
Well said, Max.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. So for Matt Smith and Greg Lyle, my name is Max Gabby. You've been listening to BB and Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottling. Have a great afternoon, and hey, go Cats.